Hey everybody, Simon Rettner here. Before we get to our fabulous studio session with Samora Penderhughes debuting some new music, we have a bunch of cool stuff up on our website, wbgo.org, including a detailed report about Mary Halverson's new band, Code Girl, and how she's re-engineering the jazz guitar. Also, new music with Joe Lovano and Dave Douglas, Cheryl Cassidy, and the Fred Hirsch Trio. Plus, hear the brand new recording by the pianist Rini Rosnes, Beloved of the Sky, as part of WBGO's Radar. Now, it's our studio session. Samora Penderhughes may be in his mid-20s, but he's already reinvented himself several times over, and each avenue of expression he chooses feels organic and true, whether he's helping organize a Blackout Black Friday event or scoring music for a documentary film about concussions in the NFL. And, oh, that's right, he's also on tour with August Green, that jazz R&B pop outfit featuring Common, Robert Glasper, and Kareem Riggins. But we are tremendously excited to bring you this new side of Samora Penderhughes, blending these worlds together as a singer-songwriter.
It's all the game to you. Don't you see what you put me through?
We hear new songs from his upcoming project called Venus. Thanks for checking in. Samora Penderhughes is in the house. His transformation suite getting some buzz, performing at the Brick Jazz Festival here in New York City. That was the one gig where all the musicians just showed up. You know, wow. Something's happening.
That's what's up.
He's here in studio about to premiere a new song for us. Samora Penderhughes, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here. This song is called The Truth.
There's some things that I don't want in me, so I try not to think about it. There's a lot of ugly things in my heart. I just hope to the Lord I don't split. You feel me? Said there's some things that I don't want in me, so I try not to think about it. There's a lot of ugly things in my heart. I just hope to the Lord I don't slip. I wonder what it's like to let it out, that part of me that I'm so afraid. It holds on me and tosses me about. Doesn't seem to be something I get away from. Tell me, how do you name those well-kept secrets that you never say out loud? And why does the body see these demons but keep me from calling out? I guess I'll just say it's a problem. One day at a time. There have been weeks when I already lost it, but I came back every time. There's a whole entire world that I've created in my mind, and it's so much more real than the one I see outside. I've populated it with people who can see that I'm no good, and who know all the best places where I can go to hide. And I'm haunted by the ghost of my best friend who just left me to head to the next world. But I'd like to believe it's the West End with a room full of art and his best girl. And it's positive that I could feel him, but I don't know if I took advantage of the times he was right in the next room, cause my pain was such I couldn't stand it. Tell me, how do you name those well-kept secrets that you never say out loud? And why does the body see these demons but keep me from calling out? I guess I'll just say it's a process, one day at a time. There've been weeks when I already lost it, but I came back every time. When you ask me what's wrong, you might think I don't hear you, but that's not the case. I just might not respond. I don't want to be near you, cause I'm so ashamed. I just keep the TV on and just let it wash over all of these many fears, and hope I wake up less weary tomorrow morning, tomorrow morning. And hope I wake up less weary tomorrow morning, tomorrow morning. Please God, hope I wake up less weary tomorrow morning. Guess I'll just say it's a process, one day at a time. There've been weeks when I already lost it, but I came back every time. And I'm just trying to keep my faith, but I'm looking for more, somewhere I can feel safe and end my holy war. You know I'm trying to keep my faith, but I'm looking for more, somewhere I can feel safe and my holy war. Guess I'll just say it's a process. Guess I'll just say it's a process. Guess I'll just say it's a process, one day at a time. Guess I'll just say it's a process. Guess I'll just say it's a process. Guess I'll just say it's a process, one day at a time. There have been weeks when I already lost it, but I came back every time. Yes, I came back every time.
The Truth, Samora Penderhughes in our studio on the checkout from WBGO. He came in here with a big grin on his face, bringing some light into the darkness that we are all experiencing. And that smile hopefully will continue in this process. Thank you for being here, man.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
So how much of this is a process for you? Does it feel like you are at war all the time, or are you sort of detached from what you create?
For me, it's definitely a process, and the music for me is pretty much my life. That's kind of how I process things, both in public and in private. It's really the easiest way for me to get to the most honest part of myself, and I think that was always how I processed things, even when I was little, was through listening to things that resonated with me and finding myself inside them. That's the type of artist I hope that I can be, is to find myself inside the music that I create, and then hopefully other people can also find themselves inside of it.
You come from Berkeley, California, the homegrown grassroots community organizing. Both of your parents are actively involved in that arena.
Definitely.
Your mother teaching literacy to inmates, your father, who grew up in Roxbury, Boston, a professor of social justice.
Yep, pretty much, yeah. My mother, she founded and created this curriculum, as you said, called Roots of Success, which is incredible. And my dad does a lot of work around youth violence prevention and the dynamics of racial violence. He actually wrote a book called Race in the Hood about the New York dynamics of racial violence around that era, you know, when Trump was writing editorials against the Central Park Five, like super racist, crazy stuff. Yeah, I mean, I got my politics from the root, not just from them, but from, you know, their parents and like the whole history of it.
You can't avoid it growing up in Oakland, California.
Bay Area, yeah, Bay Area is the best. I always rep the Bay. That was definitely the reason I am the person I am today, was number one, my parents, number two, my community there, you know, both the mentors that I had, but also other artists that were my age that were just my friends that were the most brilliant people that I still know.
So when did these two things come together for you, music and your pursuit for a better world?
I think it was always with me, really kind of came together once I realized that I wanted to be a composer. I went to school just for, you know, jazz piano. The piano is obviously, you know, my primary vessel, I would say. It's always been there for me. But I was writing songs from when I was little, but I never kind of thought that it could be like a thing. I was like, oh, people do this. You know, when I grew older, I was always looking at that from a non-musical perspective. Like, I didn't think about composition like I thought about James Baldwin writing books or Picasso doing paintings. But then later I realized, oh, that's creation. So that's always what I wanted to be, you know. But I looked for it in other art forms first, and I didn't realize that I could be that through the music. Once I realized that could be a pursuit, you know, just basically trying to write books or make movies through music, that's kind of how I see my process being. Then it all just kind of came together because it was just, like I said, just trying to be as honest as possible about myself and the world as I see it. I always, you know, followed that Nina Simone maxim of, you know, artists have to reflect the times. So for me, it was never a separation. It was just like what came out of me.
Well, we'll talk about the separation of music and message a little bit later. Let's listen to your, I would say, your greatest composition to date, Cycles, some more Penderhughes in our studio.
The sun slapped me last night, rippled me to the edge of earth, where angels fly with broken wings and love with shattered hearts, moonwalk in their minds to the sounds of teardrops, beating Michael and Marley, Mayfield and Marvin. Rest in peace. What's going on? You can't teach soul like that. You can't get this funk not to stink. So you just better breathe deep. Rock your head. Move your hips. Find God in the drum. Revolution in the bass. And make freedom look sexy tonight. The sun slapped me last night. Rippled me to the edge of earth. Angels resurrect newspaper clippings with God in the time before time. When halos shine through clouds like north stars to freedom. Guided by the sound of flesh cutting through air. Listening to the words of ancestors beating against our skin. Using scars on backs as maps, we dream of better places. Where history remembers our name. And the future's born in our favor. So one time for the brothers in schools, challenging rules for better tomorrows. Fighting traditions and yesterdays, serpent tongues and false smiles. You are evolution in tears and sweat. You are everything they read about but are too afraid to see. The beating at the protest. The innocent man behind bars. The pain of the verdict after the cops kill a brother. Or stick him with a plunger. Ask your questions. Demand your answers. Do not let them fade your soul. So two times for the preachers not scared to preach the truth. Standing tall in ghettos, praying God blows his breath around these parts. The summertime heat has folk feeling violent. Saying it's just too hot to believe God cares. They bottle their frustration in beers and wait to see those eyes, feel that gaze. Something, Lord, make me a sign. Let me know you still care.
Mm-hmm.
me last night, rippled me to the edge of earth, where forgotten angels are ready for repatriation. Too proud to cry, so they fish fry on corners and stoops, backyards and barbershops, arguing the world isn't round, for we are the children of her dark corners. You will not fade, our soul.
The tree of life, injecting my stories into the veins of leaves, only to find that stories, like forests, are subject to sea.
Cycles from Samora Pinderhughes' debut as a recording artist. The Transformation Suite, getting some love in all kinds of arenas. But I guess you were classified as a jazz artist, but it's very exciting for you right now at this juncture in your career because I want you to be a singer, man. And that's why we brought you
on.
That's
what's happening next, yeah.
It was sort of like I did an interview with Thundercat when he was a bassist. And then all of a sudden, now, no, he's not a bassist anymore. He's a singer. I feel like you're right there. Maybe in a year or two, we might think of you differently as an artist.
Yeah, I hope so. There's a lot of changes coming. That's definitely all I could say at this point. I'm definitely the type of artist, like you said, genre to me is like dead, you know? It's been dead. It never existed. But I just like never like doing the same thing twice. I mean, even outside of music, you know, like the next few projects I'm going to do, like you said, is a singing record, an installation, and a film. So, you know, it's like you never know what is going to happen. And I really like not being tied down that way to one kind of genre or one method of getting the story out, you know, because different stories require different things.
Now, if you do listen to your Transformation Suite on record, this version of the song you just heard, you have strings and all this kind of lush arrangements. You're like flexing those arranging chops, but then you can hear it stripped down and it's equally as powerful. Speaking of wearing so many hats in creation, in our postmodern landscape, really, if you take all these words away and let's say you were to only play, you know, African-American hymns or spirituals, or you play jazz, instrumental jazz. Is that even a radical statement anymore?
I don't even know if I know how to answer that. I think what I would say is, I think a lot of times, you know, genre is more used, to be honest, you know, to sell things. And for me, like, that's a capitalist concept. What is real is, like, tradition. And I think sometimes they become the same thing. So, you know, like a word will be created to classify and sell, or like, you know, to allow people to talk about certain bodies of work. And then they'll be classified with other people that they were part of the tradition with. So there is such a thing as a jazz tradition that I do consider myself to be a part of, because I love Thelonious Monk and I learned from Herbie and, you know, all my peoples. But I also, like, you know, my personal hero is James Baldwin. So, like, is he a part of the jazz tradition? I would consider him a part of the jazz tradition. I always talk about tradition instead of genre. So there's definitely a lineage that I, like, want to be a part of and that I consider myself a child of. But to me, that's very different from the concept of genre. I guess that's how I would say it.
I would listen to instrumental music of the 60s or 70s, and I would feel as though, yeah, this is innately, you could make a case that this is protest music. I think that's becoming less clear now. Like, I almost feel like instrumental jazz could be used for a different message in our, you know, era of commercialism.
Yeah, I think we could definitely use more protest music. I think a lot of people that make protest music don't want to be characterized that way, because then people call them like conscious artists and they can't make anything else. I have no problem with that, because I actually want to make protest music, like for actual protests, like not even just for people to listen to, but, you know, my goal when I make songs that are about certain things is for people to actually put them to use. I could care less, to be honest, about somebody listening to it in their living room. That's wonderful to me. But for me, like, the purpose of a song is to, you know, for somebody to get through their day, or for somebody to be on the street and, like, be able to use those words to chant, to try to get something, you know, that's justice for them, or ways that you can actually put the music to use. That's, like, what really means a lot to me when people come up and they say, when this person was murdered and their killer got off, this police officer, I used this, like, I was pissed, you know, I was really going through it with the trauma of that situation, and I used your music to get through that process, or to, like, vocalize my dissent. That's, like, what means a lot to me, and that's what I hope will happen from me continuing to make music.
Then what would be the ultimate manifestation of this concept? You hearing your song at a march, hundreds of people singing it? Do you have visions of that?
I don't know. I think... everything is kind of ephemeral at a certain point, right? Like, what we do, it's here and then it's not here. So I don't want to, you know, there's always this push-pull, obviously, with all of us who, like, want to be remembered or want to have impact. But at the same time, trying to remember that at the end of the day, like, it's not about me, it's about us, you know? I'm not sure what would be, like, for me, you know, the accomplishment. I think for me, it's more just trying every day to get better, you know, to be a better person, to make better art, to work with people that inspire me and push me to do better, and to learn from people that do that as well, you know. So when I'm making work that's about those issues, yes, I do hope that it resonates for specific people, you know, and those people are the people that I learn from that to then make music, people like Dream Defenders and Miami, and people like Ferguson Action and Ferguson, and you know, the Movement for Black Lives and Native American, you know, people that in Standing Rock, like all these people that are actually, like, putting their bodies on the line. Those are the people I go to, like, to learn about what is really happening, and also what the next wave is. Like, what is our imagination for the future? How are we going to win? Then I try to put that in the music, and then hopefully they will feel reflected inside of that, and that will be a tool for them to use and for us to use to move forward.
Only to find that
Cycles by Samora Pinderhughes from his Transformation Suite. And you can learn all about it because Jazz Night in America with Christian McBride did a whole program breaking down this suite of music and getting more in depth with his social work. And you can find that at NPR Music. More from our studio session with Samora Pinderhughes and new songs too. One in tribute to Sandra Bland.
Samora Pinderhughes, he's here in studio about to premiere a new song for us. For Those Lost, written for Sandra Bland.
This song, at first, you know, thinking about this situation with Sandra Bland, who was murdered, who was disappeared first, you know what I mean? That's almost, like, just as scary to me, because it's one thing for us to, like, see the murders on camera, you know, and then have this visceral reaction, but the fact that there's all these other ways and tools for them to get people in the same way that aren't as visible, that's scary to me because it means, like, that could happen to any of us at any time. And it's like you're really seeing what you're up against. You know, so that's the dark part about it, for sure. After that, in the process of me trying to make a song about it, because I wanted to make this song about what was that day like for her, because it's just a normal day, right? These are not, like, criminals. Most of these situations people of color deal with on a daily basis that are literally life or death, they're not doing something any different that day than they were doing the day before. That's what's so crazy about it, you know? And so I was trying to, like, go into her mind at that moment of, oh, I was just going to my daily life and then this is happening. The other part of the deep situation of her in that moment when you watch the video is that she was resisting. She was saying, why are you doing this to me? You're not legally allowed. They were not trying to hear that. Even in the face of her having known about all these other situations that happened, she wasn't just going to comply. Everyone says you should just comply, you know, just put your hands up, just say, yes, officer, no, officer. She was like, no, like, this is my life. You're not legally allowed to do this in the United States of America. And they did it anyways. For me, I was trying to explore that. And then the third kind of part, which is that other side, is that on those days after that happened, there was this Twitter hashtag that women of color and then eventually just everybody throughout the country kind of started picking up, basically saying, like, if I die in prison, like, this is what you should know. Because they were saying, like, we want you to know that these are the circumstances of it in case they try to twist the story in the media and try to vilify me and say I was this, this, and this, which is what they do with every murder that happens, is they, you know, blame the victim.
Yeah.
So all these people were coming out on Twitter saying, if I die in custody or if I die in prison, know that I wanted to fight back, know that I would want you to fight back, know that I would want this to happen, know I was this type of person. And I was just like, whoa, this is crazy. Like, that people feel the need to say that in mass, like, if they kill me and then they try to, like, create an alternate memory of me, I'm, like, saying this right now in case that happens. That's crazy. That was the beginning of this song for me. That was the inspiration of this song, this cross-section of deep horror and deep tragedy and deep resistance in the concept of people saying that, you know, in the face of death, we're going to tell our truth.
Well, let's listen to For Those Lost, your tribute to Sandra Bland, Samora Pinderhughes.
Promise me I'll be alive when I leave my home. Promise me I'll be alive when I drive alone. Stoplights could be murder. Movements could be murder. Conversations be murder. Oh, promise me I'll be alive when I leave my home. Promise me I'll be alive when I drive alone. Stoplights could be murder. Movements could be murder. steel bars and they put a charge on my name. Now I think they got me back in chains. If I die before you wake, I need you to know that I was looking forward to my new job tomorrow. But these lights my life may take when I'm on the road back. I can't stand the sirens. I hear them and I know what follows. I told myself I won't break. They shouted a warning. They made up a story. They said I resisted and I might go missing. All my mama does is pray. She'll wake in the morning and not be in mourning. That's why I just need you to listen. Promise me I'll be alive when I leave my home. Promise me I'll be alive when I drive alone. Stoplights could be murder. Movements could be murder. Conversations be murder. Oh, promise me I'll be alive when I leave my home. Promise me I'll be alive when I drive alone. Stoplights could be murder. Movements could be murder. Conversations lead to confrontations. Can't take it no further.
For those lost, remembering Sandra Bland with Samura Pinderhughes here on The Checkout. How does this not take control of you? Like you, in your first song, you said there are weeks where you completely lost it. Do you lose it, like, often, dealing with this stuff all the time?
Yeah, the truth is, yeah, for sure. And I think that as an artist, that's very important for me to do and say, because more of us have that experience than we care to admit. Also, as a person of color, that is your daily reality, you know? So when we talk about privilege and things like that, like, one of those privileges is for people to be able to check out, you know, for people to be able to not feel it all the time. Because in certain circumstances, certain people, like, you can't, you know, you can't not feel it all the time, because that's what happens. That's what happened in your family. That's what's happening in your community. That's what happened to you. Every day. You know, that's not the entirety of the reality, you know? That's not the entirety of experience. There's joy, there's love, there's community, there's truth, there's resistance. Like, all those things are part and parcel, and they're kind of intimately connected with those other sides, right? I think that's another thing we don't really talk about. Everything is always binary. So it's like, we're happy or we're not happy. But that's not really what life is. Like, there's always difficult things, and there's always moments of other things too, that, you know, brightness. So it's a process, like I said, you know, in the song, like, every day is a process and every day is different. And sometimes you wake up and that, you know, that day is going to be harder. But other days you wake up and you feel strong. I think for me, that's definitely one of more important parts of, like, my artistic mission, is to be as vulnerable as possible and let other people know that's okay, you know?
There's no better way to get vulnerable than the human voice stripped down. So what took you so long to get to this moment? Because you're such a great singer. Like, what the
heck? I appreciate it, man. I really appreciate that. I mean, truth is, you know, lots of different things, like, took me a long time, and I think the reason for them is always the same, which is just that I know a lot of the best people. As far as singing, you know, I know, like, so many all-time incredible singers, you know? I mean, just my, obviously my sister, who I like live with on the daily, is like one of the greatest singers that I know. But also there's like
Elena
all the
Pinder
other, yeah, Elena Pinder Hughes, legendary artist.
Who has yet to release a statement of her own, but I understand she's working on it.
We're working on it hard. It's going to be incredible. I'm so excited for people to hear it. But yeah, so, I mean, but I also, you know, I work with Layla Hathaway and I work with Emily King. And like, so, you know, it's like these all-time voices. And then when I was like writing my own songs, I was like, I don't know. Because the other thing is that I trained, you know, I've played piano for 20 years. And I've practiced every day. So for voice, I was just like, I didn't put that work in yet. I don't know if I'm ready to. But at a certain point, you just got to be brave, I guess. You know.
Gotta
so
be
I'm
brave.
Glad that people feel it. I'm glad that people find it honest, because I think that's just the best I could hope for.
Well, maybe it's good that you waited, because you've been working it out like a great whiskey or single malt. It's been aging.
That I love that.
And it's ready to come out and everyone to be tasted, because it has all the characteristics of what I want in a voice. And also just the way your songs, the composing, the way the harmonies move.
I just appreciate the support from people, you know, as I'm starting to like discover this part of myself. But I love writing. I love writing lyrics. So to be able to interpret them myself is just like a gift. It's a new gift for me that it's really changed my life. So I'm very excited to bring forth that part of myself for everybody. It's already changed like my entire musical approach. So
why don't you play us one more? Give us one more song.
All right, Ben. This song is called Inertia. It's another project off of, it's another song off of my forthcoming project called Venus, which will be, have all these sung songs on them.
What you know The price is heavy to pay. The price is heavy to pay. Lie and say I'm okay. Lie and say I'm okay. What you know? What you know about it? What you know? What you know about it? What you know? What you know about it? Yeah, what you know? What you know about it?
Check out some more of Pinder Hughes right now, and definitely check him out in concert, because whatever you hear maybe on this show or on CD does not compare to seeing him in a live setting. And also, if you want to hear the full backstory of Samora Pinder Hughes, definitely check out our Jazz Night in America show. Our sister program, hosted by Christian McBride, gives a more in-detail historical look at the work that you do. And you can find that on NPR Music. And representing from Berkeley, Cali, thank you, Samora Pinder Hughes.
Thank you so much. Thank you to the whole staff. Thank you so much, Simon. Really appreciate it.
Looking out on my life, my sights in the fast lane. It's a rat race. Give me time, give me time. Changing pathways might take some practice. Take some practice. Might take some practice.
My daddy said it was raining, mama said it was snowing. Heaven opened its door and born in Chicagoan. Life not knowing, laughing, learning, growing. The wind keep blowing, streets reaping and sowing. Rolling with my stolen moments and I live and die, getting by, that's the motion aside. Free and pain are identical, intervals of an inner school lyrical. What the spirit do, miracles when I interview myself. Waiting for my soul to reply, no matter where I go, the answer is why. There goes the wind again, an emblem of divine adrenaline. And I'm a sin again, forgiveness is a synonym for living. Live again. The world need a D-God like the Dominican Republic. The subject is matter over mind. Life is a practice of traveling in time.
Might take some practice. Take some practice. Might take some practice.
You're listening to Practice from August Green, featuring Samora Pinder Hughes. August Green is the hip-hop jazz group featuring Common, Kareem Riggins, and Robert Glasper. They just put out a record, and Samora Pinder Hughes is singing all over it, sounding beautifully. I'd like to give a special shout out and thanks to our production intern, Anthony Nieves. And definitely follow everything we do on our Facebook page, The Checkout from WBGO, or on Twitter. Our handle is @CheckoutJazz. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rentner. Thanks for checking us out.